Welcome to the Electric Sky, show number 3. It's Friday, May the 6th. I'm your host, Mark, and I'm lazing about by a window. It is a gorgeous day here in Ottawa. I just finished walking home from work, and it's the weather that we had like a month ago. Just like when you would least expect it, the weather at the end of winter went really warm and really sunny, and it was great, and there was actually a period where we didn't have rain for a long time. And then for the last couple of weeks, it's been cold, wet, and dreary. So today is like the turnaround day. I was listening to the Daily Source Code on my walk home, and Steve Leeds was, oh man, he's making me jealous. He went to see the Cream show at Royal Albert Hall, and I would love to see Cream. I guess I'll be counting down the days for when the DVD comes out, because that's as closest I'll get. What I would really love to see, actually, is the Police. I grew up on the Police, and a power trio tour would be even better, actually. The Police, Cream, and ZZ Top. I don't think the Police will ever get back together. Actually, you know what? Cream weren't going to get back together, and the Eagles weren't going to get back together, and look what's happened so far. So you never know. Alas, I will get to see, though, ZZ Top this summer. For the fourth or fifth time, I think. They'll be playing the Cisco Systems Blues Fest, and I'll be looking for media credentials for that festival. See if I can exploit my podcasting audience trying to get a media credential for that show. So I'm still working out the kinks of the podcasting technology bit. I did an interview earlier this week with Art Turner, a fingerstyle guitar player from Winnipeg, Canada, who I will feature in a show hopefully next week. The quality of the interview is not as good as I'd like it to be. Technically, the sound-wise is not where I'd like it to be. I've actually since discovered how to make the interviews sound good, and I expect there'll be a couple of interviews yet before I perfect it. But it turns out that Skype and Skype Out are really the way to go for doing distance interviews, phone interviews. And also, I'm really trying to get into this mode of doing an interview where it's not like this interviewee thing. And so I've got to learn how to get that relaxed thing going. I think it's harder with people you haven't met and haven't spoken to before. So I'll have to keep chugging out in the interviews, and if anybody has any tricks, let me know. Because I'm new to this whole interviewing thing. Today's show, I have a feature guest. His name is Tobias Hurwitz. He was an associate of Philip Toshio Sudo, the man who brought us Zen Guitar, both the book and the CD, and also the community. The Zen guitar community is strong and still exists today. I like to think of it more of as a Zen music community. Philip Toshio Sudo was a guitar player, and most of the people in the Zen guitar community are guitar players. I think, though, that if you're open-minded enough, when you read the book, it's really not that hard to figure out how to apply the Zen guitar methodology to music and musical instruments of any sort. So, and that's the approach I'm taking. So I was really excited. I got to speak to Tobias, and I expect that I'm going to speak to him again soon. He's in the process of getting a book deal for the follow-on book to Zen Guitar. It was a collaboration that was initiated by Philip and completed by Tobias as a result of the death, unfortunate and untimely death, of Philip to cancer. I think it's now, it was in 2002. So if you're interested more about the Zen Guitar community, check out www.zenguitar.com. Of course, a link to that will appear in the show notes. And what else is there to say? I'm going to start off before playing the interview with Tobias. This is a piece called Zen Guitar from Tobias Hurwitz. Thank you. to admit, I never even heard of you until Tracy. I mean, I've been to the website and I've seen your name before on the Zen Guitar site, but I hadn't really followed the Zen community. I was really attracted to Phil's work, but hadn't explored how far-reaching it was.
I'm not exactly a huge star or anything, but I've got a few books out and a couple of CDs out, and I'm really into Phil's work, too. When Phil put his album out, he put separate names for all of his songs, like he said, Raise the Spirit and so forth. But later on, he started to name those themes, like the little, you know, like the same themes kind of reoccur throughout the record.
Yeah, which I expect kind of plays into the one sound, one song philosophy.
Right. And he then came up with the sort of idea that one sound, one song is basically 12 themes that can be sort of rearranged spontaneously by the performer. And that's the way he played it. And he had me transcribe all of the themes and sort of do a little instruction on how to play them and whatnot. And on my actual CD, I've got a version, and just an acoustic guitar, almost unaccompanied, playing his themes. There's just like a little synth drone in the back, but it's basically mostly just an unaccompanied steel string acoustic guitar.
That's so the Zen complete, guitar?
Yeah, on my Zen Guitar CD.
Okay, because there's a song called Zen Guitar, I believe.
Oh, that's a different song.
Okay.
So, like, that's more something that I wrote. But on the Way of Zen Guitar CD, I've got One Sound, One Song, like his music, done on just an acoustic guitar interpreted by myself. Oh. That might be something of interest to you. It's just the sort of naked themes without, like, drums, without any kind of pounding stuff to it. It's more like just almost kind of a meditative, more New Age kind of interpretation of his music.
How did you discover Phil, actually?
Well, I just discovered him by reading the book Zen Guitar when it came out in 1997. That's how I discovered him. I read the book, and I had been reading Zen books for some time, and I was sort of on a kick of reading Zen books. I obviously play guitar for a living at the time, so I saw Zen Guitar, and I thought, well, this combines my interest in Zen and guitar. I'm going to check this out, and it was fantastic. It was one of those experiences where you read a book and you feel like the author is on the same page, and this author knows what you know already and has managed to put it down in words that are a bit clearer than if you'd never thought of it that clearly yourself. Sort of like a crystallization of some ideas I already had, but hey, this guy's obviously thought this through and put it all together, and it's done. There it is. You know,
I had great. A similar experience, actually, and it. Well, I'm a parent now, and I'd put down my bass for so many years that when I picked up this book, that it changed my whole perspective. It made me relax and give myself the space to start making mistakes and learn from them.
You mean Zen Guitar? This is the book you're talking about?
Yeah.
Great. Yeah, same thing with me, and then the song Zen Guitar. Like, you've obviously read the book Zen Guitar, so you probably remember the part of the book where he tells you to just start playing without thinking and see what your hands do. Well, I said, I did everything in the book, so I'm like, okay, I'm going to do that. I'm going to just start playing and see what my hands do. And that's where the song Zen Guitar came from. My song on the actual song that I titled Zen Guitar. Started sort of drumming on the guitar, and it was this really unique, different way of playing guitar, and it sounded really kind of like me or whatever. And I made a song out of it, and I thought, you know, I'll send this song to this guy and see what he thinks, since the song wouldn't have existed if I hadn't read his book. So I did that, and he ended up actually on the first, that was released on my first CD, which was called Painted Sky, and I ended up dedicating the song to him on the CD and sending him a copy, which he liked quite a bit, and we started corresponding. You know, it would be like I would send him a copy of one of my new books when it came out, and he would send me a copy of his new book when it came out. And, you know, we got together and had lunch and did this and that, and so that we had this sort of relationship that started from me reading his book and then writing a song inspired by the book.
That sounds like a pretty cool relationship.
Yeah, it was really cool, because at the same time, also, I was studying Zen, not like avidly at first, but then when I wrote the song Zen Guitar and started to establish a relationship with somebody who was Well, I guess I considered him not a technically a Zen master or whatever, like not somebody like Shinryu Suzuki or something, you know, but somebody that obviously lived the way of Zen and was really into it. So sort of like I'd found a sort of Zen teacher or mentor in that I was getting some sort of Zen lessons, if you will, from him. So we just sort of, you know, we corresponded and talked and this and that. And then I got a call from him I got a call that he had come down with cancer. It was really sad. But nobody knew how serious, I mean, you know, it was actually an email from Tracy that he had been contracted with cancer. And not long after that, he called me to ask me if I wanted to work with him writing his next book, which would be a sequel to Zen Guitar. And I think he wanted to work with me because he knew I'd written a number of guitar books, and also, of course, I was into Zen Guitar. And he was more the writer of prose, not the writer of written music. So he wanted this to take off where Zen Guitar stopped and to complete the picture, which included how to play one sound, one song, and some stuff about physically how to play guitar. So it was more like a Zen Guitar method, not just a philosophy book. It would have philosophy in it, but it would also have how to play guitar physically in it and how to play an example of Zen Guitar, which was his music. So he called me to do this with him, and then we had a meeting in Manhattan, and he sent me some videotapes, and I sent him ideas. We had a lot of talks and started to research together, but this whole time he was, you know, getting sicker and sicker, and this is the time when it became pretty obvious that he really, really could walk the walk of Zen instead of just talking the talk, because he focused on everything he was doing. You wouldn't really know you were working with a man that was dying of cancer. It was just like he was very focused, very upbeat, very in the moment, not thinking about the obvious sorrow of dying pretty soon, more thinking about what he's doing right now and how to enjoy, you know, every moment with his kids and wife and that sort of thing.
That was so clear in the diaries, that this is a guy who had strength of character, strength of will, and didn't let things defeat him.
Yeah, I mean, it was heartbreaking. It was just like, I remember having to just like fight off the tears as I was talking to him on the phone about the projects or hearing certain things that he would say, like, hey, I got to go be with my kids now or something. And, you know, this is going to be one of the last times he's with his kids, you know. And, of course, there was never a stopping of hope that he might somehow miraculously be cured, but that didn't happen. And so what really ended up happening was we had a few meetings. He'd like to write a book where you gather a whole lot of information, which is probably way more information than you really need, and then you weed it down, you pare it down into just the very best, and then that's what the 200 or so pages of the book would be. So instead of having a real focused page-by-page description of what would be on the book, he had like directions he wanted to research kind of thoroughly and then condense the material later. Well, so I was following his lead and just helping him research and doing everything he said. But what really happened was by the time of his passing, all we had done is a bunch of research, and he'd written a sort of 3-page description of what the book would be like, sort of an outline that broke it into large categories and general topics, not like very specific table of contents or anything. And he also wrote an introduction and just a couple of pages on his One Sound, One Song. So he wrote like 3 pages, and then he wrote a pretty decent outline of the book, and we had done a bunch of research together. And that's where I was left with finishing the book.
And I understand that the book is still progressing.
The book is done.
It's done.
The book is finished, completely done. And actually, we found a publisher for it, and that's one of the things I'm flying away to discuss is the book. So that it looks like Alfred Publications and the National Guitar Workshop will be publishing this book. That will be finalized, I hope, within the next 3 days.
Oh, so this is a timely conversation then.
Yeah. And the book is wonderful. It's called The Book of Six Strings, which is a sort of not, it was this, he had a number of ideas for titles, and the one we settled on was The Book of Six Strings.
Kind of a play on the samurai swords.
Exactly, The Book of Five Rings. He obviously was also somebody who was reading every Zen book, and he was totally aware of Miyamoto Musashi and this and that. And thought, let's call it The Book of Six Strings, and maybe it'll be a little like The Book of Five Rings. So we did that, and the book is really nice, and I certainly hope it'll be out pretty soon. In the meantime, I've been keeping his work alive by performing One Sound, One Song live. I've had an opportunity to do it on a couple of large radio programs and decent concerts and this and that and guitar clinics, and I've been doing some seminars, like at the National Guitar Workshop last year. I did a Zen guitar seminar, and I did a 8-week Zen guitar course that I taught here in Baltimore at the Roland Park Country School. And people sort of know me as a Zen guitar person, and many of my students ask questions about it, and I sort of go in that direction with them. But there really aren't that many people that sort of identify themselves as being Zen guitar people. I only know maybe about 2 or 3 people, though a lot of people are interested in it. And there seems to be a bit of buzz around the word Zen guitar. For instance, like Dean Guitars made a Zen acoustic guitar, has a limited edition guitar that says Zen on it, and it has Japanese characters on the neck. So, you know, obviously somebody thinks Zen guitar is...
I got to go get one.
Yeah. And then also another book came out. I think it's called The Art of Zen Guitar. And who is that by? Let's see. It's by Jeff Peretz. So there's The Art of Zen Guitar. There's The Acoustic Zen Guitar. There's, well, finally, Guitar Player Magazine has admitted Zen Guitar exists by letting me write a little article on it.
That's the June 2005 issue?
Yeah, that's the brand new issue that's out right now. It's got Carlos Santana on the cover.
Okay.
They let me write a little tiny thing basically saying what the Zen guitar movement is, mentioning Phil's book, and it shows a little picture of my The Way of Zen Guitar CD in the article, which is kind of cool.
Is that derived from Phil's book?
I don't think it would have been written without Phil writing his book. Like, I think that, well, in 1997, Phil wrote that book, and no one had really thought of coining the term Zen guitar before that I know of. And I know that Jeff Peretz read the book, though I don't think there's any mention of the book in his acknowledgments or anything. Yeah, there might be, I'm not sure. And the book is not much at all like the book Zen Guitar. It's a pretty cool book, but it's not... I mean, what it is mostly a guitar exercises book. And it seems to operate on the premise that to be Zen and to be a Zen guitarist, to be musically Zen, is to sort of be in a zone of free improvisation, to sort of be able to let it flow, is what I get out of the book. And I think that that's certainly an aspect of Zen guitar, but I think it's only one of many aspects of Zen guitar. And it seems to be basically the only aspect that is covered in that book. But I think it's pretty good. You know, I mean, I'm happy that there are people out there saying, hey, Zen guitar is something, it's worth writing a book about, it's worth buying a book about, it's worth recording a CD of, writing an article on, attending a lecture about. There's the Zen guitar festivals in Manhattan that I've played, I think 3 of them so far. Sal Principato, the drummer on Phil's CD, organizes those, and they're in Bleecker Street right in the village. It's pretty cool. Very cool.
When is the next one of those?
It's not scheduled right now, but they tend to happen once every year, a year and a half or so. The last one was real nice. I brought some kids with me to play. Basically, my son's teenage friends, some of which are maybe 20 or 19, or even the youngest, I believe, was 16. And we played, I played Phil's music unaccompanied on acoustic guitar. And then we got up and played a couple of songs together as a band, and a lot of other people played, like John Perinsky, the webmaster of ZenGuitar.com, played, and he's got a real nice CD. It's called Dr. Maybe. It's very Zen guitar. So, anyway, it's just a real neat event, and it should certainly be maybe you could do a podcast about or something next year.
Well, I would love to actually go down and attend one of these events.
Yeah, you ought to. Maybe it's awesome.
Or maybe if you do it in Ottawa, it would be super easy for me to go down there.
Well, I'm thinking about having my own in Baltimore at some point. Like, there should be more than one Zen Guitar Festival, in my opinion. But so far, the only person who's put out the energy to organize such an event has been Sal Principato, and he's done it 3 times.
Well,
and each one has been a little bit nicer and bigger than the last.
Well, I remember when I discovered Phil. Interesting story, actually, how I found the book, is I was at Chapters, which is the Barnes & Noble of Canada. And I was going through in the music section, and I saw this book that had a logo on it. I thought, I've seen that somewhere before. I should pick up this book and check it out. It turns out that the logo was tattooed on the forearm of my bass/guitar teacher. And that's how I recognized it. So he's got this on his forearm. He's got the, I don't want to give him away.
Oh, the Zen Guitar logo, like the little calligraphy guitar?
The calligraphy guitar. It takes up, I would say, about 3/4 of his forearm.
Wow, that's pretty cool.
I read the book, and I was so gripped by it that I hopped onto zenguitar.com, and that's when I found out that I'd missed Phil by about 6 months. What struck me, there are many things that struck me. Where do I begin? The cancer diaries.
And, oh, my God.
And the thing that killed me about the cancer diaries is they're so strong in there, and you're thinking, wow, this is a triumphant guy. But I was fighting back the tears because I already knew the result.
Yes, I know.
But I sent an email to Tracy, I didn't know it was going to Tracy. I just sent it to the Zen Guitar email address, and Tracy responded within days. I'd sent an email thanking the community for having made Phil available to all of us and for sharing his work. And within days, I got an email back from Tracy, and that just caught me off guard. So.
Yeah, she's great. I mean, she's a single mom and dealing with working and kids and losing her husband, but she's so fighting for his work and keeping his memory alive, and it's great.
Oh, yeah.
Do you have any other questions for me? Because I've actually got to start packing pretty soon for my trip. I got to.
Well,
to catch
obviously, there's a million
today.
Things I'd love to talk to you about. Actually,
why don't you ask me a couple more? I mean, go ahead, shoot a couple questions off.
Let's break away a little bit from Zen Guitar and just talk about music in general. What are your thoughts on music education and the focus or lack thereof on improvisation and self-discovery for the children in music education programs?
Well, it's funny you should ask because I happen to direct a music program for kids of ages 9 through 15. A large part of what I do is teaching kids music, and I have a camp called Day Jams, and it's a division of the National Guitar Workshop, and there are 20 of them across the country, but I'm the director of the one in Baltimore, and we have 90 to 95 or so kids a week for a month in the summer, and we form them into rock bands, and they write a song, and they improvise, among other things, so that I think that I suppose mainstream educational channels, there's not a lot of emphasis on improvisation outside of jazz, but that there's a growing sort of, I guess, alternative education process which totally caters to that. And Day Jams is only one example of that. Like, for instance, Day Jams, kids 9 through 15 learning improvisation, among other, and songwriting. The National Guitar Workshop, well, they offer courses in songwriting, all styles of improvisation, rock, jazz, blues, you name it, country. There's a zillion books out there on improvisation. I just wrote one. It's called Rock Chops. It's available all over the place. There's a lot out there if you want to learn to improvise, but what I feel is missing, it's interesting, is that, well, I don't know if you're aware of this, but the guitar is the most popular instrument in America. And it has overtaken the piano as such over the last, I suppose, 4 years or something. It used to be that the piano was the most popular. Now it's the guitar is the most popular. Back when Zen Guitar was written, 1 million new guitars were sold in America per year, but now 2 million are sold. So you see how fast the popularity of the guitar is growing. Now, the guitar is sort of like the instrument of rock music. You might say the piano or the violin is the instrument of classical music. The guitar, well, you know, the electric solid body guitar was invented more or less to play rock music. And that's basically the main thing it does. Well, sure, rock and blues, but the electric solid body guitar is becoming sort of an American icon. You see Jimi Hendrix on the Super Bowl commercial staring at a Stratocaster in a shop window, or, you know, or something like that. This guitar is not accepted by schools. Like, if you go to high school, you can be in a jazz band, you can be in a big band, like a marching band, but you can't be in a rock band and play the music of America. You can't play Jimi Hendrix, you can't play Led Zeppelin, you know, even though it's British music, but still. And I think that's rather odd, because considering it's indigenous American music that's had tremendous global impact, and it's the most popular music in America, I don't see any reason why it shouldn't be taught with some sort of priority. So in my role as a guitar teacher, I let children choose what they want. The first thing I ask them is, what do you like? What do you see yourself doing on guitar when you get good? Some of them say they like classical, some say they like jazz, some say they like blues, but the overwhelming majority say they like rock, which is totally predictable because it's the American music. So there's a lot of guys out there like me who are essentially trying to steer away from influencing the student and trying to steer towards letting the student make their own creative decisions, which is part of the Zen belief too, is that you find yourself, and yourself isn't somebody else telling you what to do, it's yourself deciding what to do. So that's some of the things I think about that.
I know you're in a rush, so I'll let you go. I just wanted to say good luck with getting the publishing deal set up, and as a result, good luck with the trip. It's been a privilege to speak with you, and I look forward to speaking with you again. There's a million things I'd like to talk about.
Sure, let's get into have a nice long conversation when I get back from my trip, and I appreciate the interest in Zen guitar, and it's a great way to live and think about music and life, and you know, it's nice that you're out there spreading it around a little bit.
So with any luck, Tobias has managed to formalize the publishing deal for the follow-on book, and hopefully he'll have news for us on that in the next couple of days. Maybe next week I'll give him a call and see what the status is. So one of the things I love about this podcasting thing is that, I like talking to people. And this is an excuse to talk to a whole bunch of people who I otherwise might not have spoken to, and to share what I'm finding out with you, my listener. So I have a whole bunch of interviews that I'd like to do in the next few weeks. I've left messages for a theater troupe that will absolutely make you laugh, and with an expert in children's literature. So hopefully I can get those interviews off the ground in the next few days. We are childless tonight. So have a great night. Thank you for listening. Thanks for your feedback. Keep it coming to webmaster@electricsky.net. Thanks a million to Tracy Sudo, Phil's widow, and his family, and to Tobias Hurwitz, and to the Zen Guitar community. And I look forward to doing more for the Zen Guitar community to promote their activities. And as Tobias said, perhaps I will eventually get to podcast one of the One Sound, One Song events. Have a really great weekend, and talk to you next week.